From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program is Jordan Davis from Kingsfoil, the central Pennsylvania pop rock band that has exploded onto the national and even international indie rock scene over the past few years with two albums recorded by Nashville producer Dustin Burnett. That combo is back with a brand new acoustic EP called Brave Love. It was recorded by the band here in Pennsylvania, but mixed and mastered by Burnett.
Really, he did such a great job with it. You know, he really made the EP, you know, just from my opinion, obviously I'm very biased, but I really like the way it sounds. I really like what he did with, and he had a lot to do with that. You know, he added a few, you know, keyboard programming type stuff as well, and he really kind of like took what I did and made it something special. So
coming up, it's Jordan Davis from Kingsfoil talking about the Brave Love EP, and we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill. Joanna joins us each month to talk about the local theater scene. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. A quick correction from last week's program. On Mickle Time, we reported that Mason Porter would be in town on Thursday, January 23rd at Lancaster Dispensing Company. The date of that show is actually Friday, January 24th. Mason Porter starts at 10 o'clock. That's Mason Porter at Dipco, Friday, January 24th. Coming up this week on Saturday, January 25th at 2 p.m., the Triangle and Baltimore-based publisher Furniture Press Books team up to host a poetry reading and open mic at TELUS 360. The reading features Iris Cushing, Andrew Sargas Klein, Chris Casamassima, Jenny Hill, and Dana Savage. A $5 donation will be collected for the artists, and of course the event includes an open mic, so all are welcome. TELUS 360, that's 24 East King Street in Lancaster, January 25th from 2 until 4 p.m. And then next Monday, January 27th, it's Music Mondays at the Fridge in Lancaster. Music Mondays are an intimate evening of live music, this time with Philadelphia's Levy Drivers. Tickets are very, very limited and available for purchase at the Fridge. It's $15 to get in and all proceeds go to the band. Doors open at 6:30, the show starts at 7:30. It's Music Mondays at the Fridge, 534 North Mulberry Street in Lancaster. Today on the program, we're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill. Joanna is the Vice Chair of Creative Works of Lancaster, a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater, and Assistant Director at the Philadelphia Alumni Writers House at Franklin and Marshall College. Each month, she joins us for a look at what's going on in the Lancaster theater scene. We're skirting the curtain on Around the Wood Stove. Joanna Underhill, welcome back to Around the Wood Stove. It's a brand new year. I'm really glad that you were here with me.
I'm really glad to be here, too. I've missed skirting the curtain.
We are talking Lancaster Theatra on the show today. And Lancaster theater scene. What do you have in store for us coming up this month?
Well, coming up, Fulton Theater, of course, an old standby.
Absolutely.
Is doing an old standby called Arsenic and Old Lace that is well known for the movie with Cary Grant, directed by Frank Capra, but it is just as funny on stage. I've seen it on stage a couple times, and it never fails to satisfy.
Awesome.
And that is running at the Fulton January 28th through February 17th. So if you want to go see a show about two murderous old grandma types, that's the one you want to go see.
Is that a short run for them?
The plays are a little shorter than the musicals, yeah.
Okay, good to know.
Yes.
Great.
And then on the other end of the spectrum,
okay,
coming up is our new works. So we had an old work. Now we have new works coming up on First Friday in February, which is the 7th. And the Dramatist Platform is back with a collection of short plays that will be given staged readings, 9 p.m. at the Fulton's Education Building, 24 North Prince Street. I don't have any titles yet, but it's always interesting.
Yeah, that's been going on for quite a while now, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For anybody who's new to the program or new to the area, why don't you tell us just a little bit about what the Dramatist Platform is.
So the Dramatist Platform is a group of area playwrights. They get together about twice a month. They read each other's works and comment on them. And then when they feel they're ready for some public feedback, they then select two or three and they perform them. They stage readings with, you know, actors who've rehearsed a little bit but have scripts in their hands.
I've been to several of these, and it's really outstanding. It's a great way to sort of wind down your first Friday if you're...
Yes.
Like me, a little older, and wrapping things up around 10 o'clock. And some people can use it as actually a jumping off point for First Friday to come down, check that out, and then go out. But
yeah, it's a rich tapestry for everybody.
Right. So. No, but they're always good, and it's very refreshing because in many cases, you either know the, if you're in the scene at all, you know the people who are writing them, you know the people who are reading them, and it's fun to just see people doing something pretty, it's not off the cuff. I mean, they're a little bit of rehearsal, but, it's fresh.
It's a
real fresh take.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, the performance is fresh, and then there's the work itself is fresh. And it's just kind of, and there's a lot more writers in this community than you realize.
It's amazing.
And if anyone's interested, they should just look up the Dramatist platform on Facebook and get in touch with them and join, because they're always looking for new playwrights.
Absolutely. What else is going on?
Well, then coming up, so most of the stuff actually is beginning in February.
Okay.
Effort at Performing Arts Center is doing their annual, what they call their Kids for Kids production, which is kids performing for other kids and families, and it's the classic Wizard of Oz.
Nice.
It's the 75th anniversary of that, and it's got something like 60 students in it.
Jeez.
Performing. Yeah, but I hear just great things about those. I haven't seen one in a couple of years, but the last one I went to just... The energy is great. It's just a good experience for everyone. And it's a good family-friendly, inexpensive things to do. And that is February 7th to the 23rd out there in Ephrata.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anything else going on?
Yes. Kind of the last thing for your Valentine's weekend, if you'd like to take in a musical cabaret, Prima is doing what they do best. They're going to do what they're calling their retro sounds.
Okay.
And it's music from, sounds like the 40s and 50s, 60s, and even the 70s. They mentioned like the Rat Pack, the Andrew Sisters, and the Supremes and Temptations. But the interesting thing is they're doing it at Michael's Motor Cars Garage.
Where's that?
It is. It's not far. They said it's near the Amtrak station.
Oh.
And it's known for housing classic and vintage cars. So it must be
kind
of
where that is.
Classy
yeah.
place. Yeah. So they're going to transform that into a performance space.
That's like right North Prince.
Yeah.
Kind of near the Neptune.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of tucked away there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You kind of drive by unless you're looking for it. But yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
They're
going to
take
a very non-traditional space and do apparently what sounds like going to be a lovely romantic evening. So
is that on Valentine's Day?
It's on the February 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Oh, great.
Yeah, at 8 p.m. each night. And you just have to look them up and find out about tickets.
We'll link up in the show post to these various theatrical events happening this month coming up in the Lancaster theater scene. Joanna, always my pleasure.
It's an honor to be here, Jason.
Welcome back to Around the Wood Stove. We're skirting the curtain. We'll catch you next month. Learn more about the Fulton's Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster at their website, creativelancaster.org. Each month, Joanna joins us with a look at all that's happening in the Lancaster theater scene.
Lancaster Roots and Blues, a festival of music, happens February 21 and 22. Get tickets now for this inaugural event at lancasterrootsandblues.com. Don't miss this first year. Live music is better.
Messed up, sitting down in the snow with my shirt thrown off, watching the bamboo grow, and I felt more lost than I wanted anybody to know. Came to in the cold, in the dark, looking for you with my eyes so wide. Should have saw it coming, but I woke in out on it without learning that the warning was real. So give it up now.
Jordan Davis is the lead singer and primary songwriter for the band Kingsfoil. Jordan and guitarist, keyboardist Tristan Martin have been performing as Kingsfoil for well over a decade. The band's lineup also includes longtime bassist Tim Warren and drummer Frankie Munoz. Earlier this month, the band released its latest album, the Brave Love EP. It's a self-produced collection of new material and acoustic versions of some Kingsfoil classics. I was lucky to catch up with Jordan before the band hits the road for another busy year of touring. This is Jordan Davis from Kingsfoil on Around the Wood Stove. Jordan Davis, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm like, we're excited to be, where's the wood stove though? Kidding.
We are actually at Groundworks in downtown Lancaster. There's a wood stove. There's actually an electric wood stove.
There is.
It's a faux wood stove.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad that we had an opportunity to connect over these winter months when things sort of slow down for everybody in the music business.
It certainly does.
And you've got this, you've got this great new EP that's generating a lot of buzz out in the Twitter sphere and the Facebook land. It's the Brave Love EP. It's got this brand new title track, and then a handful of older acoustic songs. So let's just start with the why. Like, why an acoustic EP for Kingsfoil at this time?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Actually, we had sort of kind of had it in our minds to do it last spring. We wanted to do some acoustic songs, and really, I think it kind of just stemmed from people saying, like, oh, you know, you should record some songs acoustic. Like, we would hear that a lot, I think, from our fans, and they just kind of, and maybe that's just because where we came from, like where Tristan and I came from, you know, playing acoustic for so many years. But so it seemed kind of like a natural thing to do, and it really just came down to time. Like, we did, you know, we were so busy over this last year, and then, you know, it's only really been 2 months ago. We just sort of said, you know, why don't we try to go for it? You know, I'll track the whole thing, and I have this idea for this new song, and let's just go for it and see if we can do it and have it out by Christmas, kind of thing. And
oh wow!
And that's kind of how I work. I realized I work a lot better, like giving myself a time.
Yeah, you know, like a deadline.
A deadline, yeah.
Yeah.
So we went for it, and we really were lucky because so many things came together with like finding someone that did the art and Dustin still mixed the record and mastered the record. So there was, everybody kind of came together real quickly to make it happen. And that's what I think is so cool about it, because it's so hard to release something, like record it and release it right away. It's just not, it doesn't happen like that as much anymore.
No, not at all.
And so that was exciting that we were able to do that.
So when you say you tracked it, I mean, did you track it in a home studio? Did you go to local studios?
No, I had just moved, I live in downtown York. I had moved from one apartment to a new apartment that's still downtown. And instead of kind of moving all my stuff into my room, I just like made it a studio for the first month I was there. So it was just kind of like set up to record the Brave Love EP, really. And it was like kind of perfect, because I was like, well, I don't have any stuff in here anyway, so it's just going to be a studio. It's fine. I, you know, whatever. So, you know, and then that kind of really gave me the motivation to get it done. And I'll be honest, it was like towards the end, we were nervous, because the amount of hours that you really need to put in to have it right is like a lot. So we were a little nervous about getting it done, but we did it.
Yeah, you nailed it. So you mentioned that Dustin Burnett was involved, and he's been like this, and from a fan's perspective, like this perfect fit for the band, going back a couple years to the first record he did with you, On Our Own Together. And then with the record that came out about 18 months ago. I mean, these are two really big records for the band, but also just huge sounding records. Mm-hmm. Seemed like a no-brainer to get him involved, but was that the idea from the beginning of the project, or did that just sort of emerge?
Yeah, no, it's definitely on my mind from the beginning, because, I mean, he really knows us, and he knows like our sound obviously so well, because we've even written songs with him, but... this is the first time that I had ever kind of taken along, like actually tracking it and kind of producing it and kind of getting that all together. And then, you know, from there, like once I send it to him, there's no changing it. You know, whatever I've done, he's going to mix it. But so that was the first time we had ever done that. And I'm excited that he was on board with that. And, you know, he trusted me to give like the best quality tracks that I could to him.
Yeah, did you get some constructive feedback?
Oh, of course. You know. You really think you can do this? You really think you could do, you know? Yeah. And that's important, because, you know, he has a very high standard, and that I'm glad that he's like that. Yeah. And really, he did such a great job with it. You know, he really made the the EP, you know, just from my opinion, obviously I'm very biased, but I really like the way it sounds. I really like what he did with, and he had a lot to do with that. You know, he added a few, you know, keyboard programming type stuff as well, and he really kind of like took what I did and made it something special. So, and what the guys did and made it something special. So I'm pumped about it, you know, even though it's small, it's just a little EP, but.
No, it's a great record. In fact, let's have a listen to Brave Love. This is a brand new track from Kingsfoil. It's available now on the Brave Love EP. This is Kingsfoil on Around the Wood Stove.
Maybe someday I will get it right. Let honesty and kindness be the prize. Roll all the windows down, drive on roads we used to know. Brave love, brave love, I've heard it spoken. Brave love, brave love, like a dream awoken. Only know it 'cause I've seen it on the faces of the ones I've broken.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. And now back to our conversation with Jordan Davis from Kingsfoil on Around the Wood Stove. So I got to tell you, digging into this EP over the last week or two, I really, really, one thing that really stood out to me was the treatment that you guys did on What Your Mother Taught You, which was like the single, right, the first single from the current full band album. And I just felt like it was such a cool way to hear that song, and I was trying to figure out if it would have been as cool had I never heard the song, or if it's really cool to hear it that way because I'm so familiar with the big pop versions. My wife and I were talking about this the other day because we were listening to it in the house, and she's like, "I really like this record. I think I might like it better than the originals." And I said, "But would you like it better than the originals if you never heard the originals?"
Yeah, but it's a good point.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way of, because you can't unlisten to the old, the old record.
You can never unlisten
to Kingsfoil. Are these arrangements that you guys did on this record, are they live arrangements that you've done before, or is this all created for the EP?
I think a lot of it was really just created for the EP. There's sort of moments in that song that are definitely really, like different from the original version. And even like, American Veins, there's sort of some vocal parts that, just are, completely new that aren't on the old version at all. So, and it's interesting that you say that. I think hopefully people are like, liking to hear a different approach. I know sometimes, when I hear a band change up my favorite song or do a different version, I'm always like, yeah, I kind of might like turn my nose up and be like, well, I like the original, whatever, But hopefully people kind of, maybe they hear more of the lyrics, or maybe they feel something, maybe something comes across a little bit better when it's stripped down. I hope that maybe that happens a little bit.
I think the lyrics definitely stand out more. Yeah. I mean, there's so much ear candy on the pop the pop records that you've done. There's so many great little parts and little things that happen to keep it very interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think with the acoustic versions of these songs, the lyrics are so out front.
Yeah.
That's really what you're focusing on. Even though there's some really interesting things that are happening there too, but it's subtle.
I know what you mean.
It's subtle.
Yeah, there's more room for them or whatever.
There's a track called Chocolate Rose. Was that previously released?
It actually was. It was on the Almond Tree EP.
Oh, one of the old.
Yeah, which is very old. I guess it was like kind of like Tristan. Actually, it's a pretty funny story. Tristan and I went to Nashville to record that. It was like the first time we were like going to record in a studio, and we were like, you know, I was 18, and that was one of the Chocolate Rose was one of the songs, and we had gone on a tour, and I remember we wrote Chocolate Rose at this, we were camping in Nevada at this campsite, and I literally remember sitting there and writing this song like at this picnic table, and it was like super hot, and writing Chocolate Rose and then driving to the next place and finishing it. And I remember Tristan being like, yeah, he was kind of like, I don't know about that song. But the song ended up being really, like, at the time, like, people really liked that song. It was kind of like our, like...
So it was like the hit, the Kingsfoil hit song.
Yes, it really was. It was funny. So, but when we recorded it, we were so kind of naive to recording, and I think the situation, like, the guy that we were working with was, you know, he had never really dealt with a rock duo before. You know, it just wasn't his thing. And because they couldn't figure out the click, that, you know, you track to a click, we were going to track to a click, they couldn't figure it out. So we needed it broken up a certain way, and it wasn't right. So they're like, well, Tristan, like, well, we'll fine, we won't do it. But we were in separate rooms. So Tristan's tracking in another room, and I'm tracking my guitar in this room, and we can't see each other, and we can't get the click. So we just count the song off, and we record it live. So when you listen to the Almond Tree EP, all those are recorded live in rooms where we can't see each other, and there's no click. So if you listen back to those tracks, you go, oh my gosh, like, you know, some of them might have a little bit
loose.
Of magic, but wow, they are really pretty. You know, in my opinion, pretty rough, but that's just kind of, you know, that's my own self-evaluation of early art, so that's just going to be the way it is. But moral of the story is we wanted to re-record it and try to see if we could capture it at just, you know, a different level than it was released at originally. So
how collaborative was the process of picking these songs?
It was kind of like...
Or did you say, hey, here's these songs, what do you guys think?
I think Frankie wanted to add American Veins, I feel like, and at one time we wanted to do Goldfish, but it was kind of like literally how much time we had to actually record them. So we played around with it a little bit, but they just kind of felt like the right songs to try to do acoustic.
Similar question with the Christmas song. Was that pre-recorded?
That's been around for a little. We kind of just put that on as like a kind of bonus. The ones that I recorded are the six. The first six songs.
Yeah. And that leads to the song I wanted to ask you about, which is this alternate version of the song Say.
Yep.
Which, I got to be honest with you, hearing it on this record, it jumps out more at me than...
Well, it's full band.
I don't mean compared to the first six or seven songs. I mean compared to the original version that was on
Beating Heart.
Yeah. So was this something that you had done with Dustin and it was just sort of sitting on the shelf?
Exactly, yeah. It was actually the first version we did of the song. And when we released Beating Heart, we sort of, you know, we were playing around with both versions and we all liked both versions. And, you know, eventually we went with the version that's on the record, but we always liked it. We always we always joked that like that was like Tim's favorite bass line because he plays this bass line in the verse that's like just really cool. Like it's just I love it. Like it's really cool. And we always joke around. It's like that's the one thing that we cut off the record is like Tim's best bass line. So I think it was in a way it was just kind of we have the freedom to do what we want, and you know no one's like. There's no filter on how we release it. So we kind of said, you know what, here, let people listen to this. Maybe it's interesting to them. There's certain parts about it that are pretty, that we like. And there's, you know, just why not let people listen to it? You know, it's existing, so.
Yeah. Well, let's do it right now. This is a track called Say from the Brave Love EP. It's Kingsfoil on Around the Wood Stove.
It's like saying I love you in a whisper on the highway with the windows down. You can't say it aloud, won't come out. You're about to tie your tongue up in a knot right now. When you can get your arms around the ones you love. When you can't get your arms.
At the Wood Stove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Wood Stove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Wood Stove House blog posts and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. My guest today is Jordan Davis from the Central Pennsylvania rock band Kingsfoil. So it's been 3 years since you were first on this program, and unbelievably to me, a year and a half since you were here releasing A Beating Heart as a Bleeding Heart.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been like, I went back to check the archives, and I was like, wow, September of 2012.
Yeah, and that was right when it came out, I guess.
Well, I think we actually had the conversation maybe in August of that year, so it's been like almost a year and a half, and Kingsfoil has become an internationally touring rock band. I mean, you guys have been all over the globe celebrating the success as an independent band, but doing it in a very challenging music business. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on how you feel the band has changed since you released A Beating Heart.
Yeah, thanks those kind words, but yeah, it's been kind of a really crazy year, and I think it's almost like It's ended and we've learned kind of so much, and now we're kind of like, well, we're at this new spot, but you know, what do we do next? You know, kind of thing. You know, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's just there's so many ways to go. There's no perfect path that you go down as a band. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that we have now that we just kind of sort of need to decide as a band where we want to go. So it's kind of a weird spot to be in a certain way.
And I would expect that it's even charting brand new territory as an independent band. I mean, there have always been independent bands. I mean, the punk bands back in the 70s and the 80s were independent bands, but things are different now. I mean, that's comparing apples to oranges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the last 10 years or so, as we've transitioned from really the only path to great success through the MySpace era and that sort of weird, what do we do with the independent music? How do we make money? How do we survive? To what's going on now? It's kind of a new place for all bands who are striking out independently. And so you don't have that governing body saying, all right,
exactly,
here's the next step. And if you fail, then we're just gonna push you away and get rid of you.
Exactly. You really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, so I applaud you guys let me say it this way. I applaud you guys for staying on your own when you put out that last record. And if I remember correctly, I mean, it shot up on the iTunes charts like dramatically, like in the first couple of days that it came out. And I remember the buzz around it was humongous. And I'm sure that it served you well as a record.
Absolutely. We never knew like what, we had no idea how, what it would do or like how the release would be. And I think at the time we just didn't really realize it, but looking back, it was definitely like a step. We really took a step with the record, and that's really exciting to like look back and see that it wasn't like, you know, we put the record out and we were still at that same spot. It really kind of did something for us, and like you said, we got onto some of the iTunes charts, and it's still so hard though, because it's it's measured by so many other things now. You know, one of the almost the bigger goals that I have this year is trying to get a million streams on Spotify. Like I want Kingsfoil to try to hit a million streams on Spotify. And maybe that sounds silly, or you know, I don't even know if it's if you know.
Yeah, right. What that means. Ultimately,
what it means,
right?
but there's so many different you know avenues of ways that people are consuming music now that it's not you know it's not just the downloads. But the cool thing with like Spotify is I think we're like 600 or 700,000 streams. So if people keep promoting it and pushing it like they have, like you know it's starting. That's just an outlet that we've really you know had some success at, which is kind of neat because it's you know it's so new. You know.
Yeah. Well, what do you think that the recordings and particularly this the album that came out 18 months ago, how did that help the live show?
I think that, I mean, one of the main things is just the songs, like being able to play new songs. I mean, you know how it is. Like if you're playing a song that you're excited about and it's new, it's like nothing better than that. You know, being able to play Brave Love a couple weeks ago, like for the first time, it's like, you know, you have so much energy and so much excitement that I think that did a lot for us, that record. We were playing new songs off of it. And that's huge.
I got to tell you, you know, I've seen the last, probably the last two shows that you did at the Chameleon here in Lancaster. The acoustic one that was just recently, but then also full band one, maybe two before that. And from having seen you play in years past, I felt like that the road has treated you very well. Like Thanks. It's the tightest I've heard the band play. And I feel like that, you know, I feel like sometimes it takes a... Well, the road can make or break a band.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way, right? Yeah, you know, I've seen definitely. Bands come off the road who are just ready to pack it up.
Yeah.
But I feel like from seeing these shows at the Chameleon, like that the road has gelled something within the band. I'm curious to know what that road experience was like, because you went from 3 years ago we had this conversation. It was right around this time 3 years ago, and I was like, why aren't you guys out? You know, why aren't you guys on the road? This music is so good. And you're like, wow, we're trying, you know, and you're playing the Chameleon and you're playing around Harrisburg.
It's
and all
hard.
That kind of thing.
It's hard.
And then, you know, fast forward, you were on the road in a van and, you know, kind of struggling on the road at first, going back two and a half years.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I'm looking at Facebook pictures and I'm seeing you playing in these colleges in front of, you know, a large number of people. Do you feel like that that the band has changed from a performance perspective because of the road?
Absolutely. Like, I think you're right on with it. If you it makes you like, I mean, you can practice all day.
Absolutely.
You know, you can practice all day, but you can never practice a live show. There's no way to practice a live show. I mean, obviously, you just have to do. So when we did like even the Sparks tour, Sparks to Rescue tour that we did in July, just this past July, like. I really like, you know, by the end of the tour, that's when you start to feel like, wow, you know, this is what it's like to be able to play in a band with four people that are really listening to each other. They're not, you know, just playing their parts. Everybody is playing as one. And it, when that happens, like you said, like that's when you really, you can tell that the road has done something. And playing those bigger shows has definitely done something as well, because it's like, there's a lot of pressure, you know, there's a lot of, you really have to show up and play.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like if you have a bad show when you're opening for 4,000 people, like that's a bad time to have a bad show. You know, like you don't have the luxury to have a bad show.
Yeah. You can't hide in the corner of the bar.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not. And granted, we've had tons of bar shows that were, you know, there's been 30 people there and you have the best show ever, or you have whatever, you know, but it does, we have gotten to that point where you really, you know, there's a lot of pressure to really take advantage of the situation, because you know, you don't know, it could be your last show like that, you know?
Absolutely. Let's have a listen to another track from the Brave Love EP. It's Kingsfoil. Here's the acoustic version of the 2012 single, What Your Mother Taught You, on Around the Wood Stove.
I see you from across the room, out of the darkness like a perfect bloom. I tell myself to leave this place. Then you start to walk, my heart starts to race. You got those kind of legs that bring me to my knees. But you're behind barbed wire, flashing keys in my teeth. I really want you now, but you're already full, too full of you.
So what's on tap for Kingsfoil coming up the rest of the winter and the spring?
It's kind of funny, like we're really switching back to writing, because like we put out the EP and it feels, it's awesome that it feels, you know, it's like new music for people, which is so important, but like songs are the most important thing. Like, you know, we're at the point where like you have to keep putting out music, and it has to be songs that are like so good that you want your friends to listen to them. And if you're not doing that consistently, like people won't care. And not that they won't care, but
the attention span.
Yeah. So I think that's really important to us. And it's right now it's, I've been able to write recently. I've been able to get some ideas down. So I'm trying to take advantage of that. So we'll be doing that over the next month, and then really just trying to solidify where we're going to be recording. But we have a lot of different plans of releasing a lot of new music in the new year. So I'm pretty excited for that.
Just need to take some time to figure it all out.
Yeah.
So you can find the Brave Love EP from Kingsfoil on iTunes, download it there. Obviously go to Spotify if you're a Spotify listener.
Absolutely.
Let's try to get Kingsfoil up to 1 million streams.
It sounds silly, but you gotta have goals.
But do check out this record. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You can find out more about today's program by visiting the show post at our website, woodstovehouse.com. And while you're there, you can check out past episodes of the program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced by the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.